here being located at this course on Kimadaba Inc. And it's certainly a pleasure of mine, certainly a big covenant of mine, to present Rabbi Schechter, who's going to be speaking about another type of covenant, the covenant of arts, which we've just recently long ago spoken about in terms of from the negative perspective, and which we are now mourning from the negative perspective, in terms of the fact that we've lost the opportunity to live in the spiritual world of Eretz Yisrael with the Beis Hamikdash. And so it's my pleasure to present to you Rabbi Schechter, who's Beis Hashem will inspire us and will be a zecher for Steve's father as a zecher of Chayom Abba.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Rishus Rabbi Frankel. Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here in the shul. And what greater shus can there be in the world than to be in any location and to share Torah, to share Divrei Torah, and to inspire each other. So I thank the Greenblatt family for putting together this very meaningful and beautiful evening. The Ilui Nishmas, your father, Yecheskel, Ben Rav Yitzhak Chaim, as well as, you mentioned, your brother. That was a beautiful tribute to both your brother and the Rebbe. Wow, Halavadi, we should all have Talmidim who feel so impacted and so influenced. That's a tremendous covenant, a tremendous tribute to your Rebbe, Rabbi Landau, Zechrono L'chaim Olam Haba, as Rabbi Frankel said, and your brother Chaim Yitzchak and Rabbi Cheskel. We should be able to come together for Simchas and to celebrate many wonderful milestones in your family and together with this entire Kehila. So as mentioned, we know that this evening is the beginning of the 9 days. This is Shavua Shachalbo. It's a question, when is Shavua Shachalbo this year? It's an interesting question. Is there any Shavua Shachalbo? But it's certainly Rosh Chodesh Av. And it's a time that we need to think more seriously about, as the Rav mentioned, what exactly the lost is. What exactly is lacking in our lives. And I find it pretty complicated because it seems, living in our communities and living in the generation in which we are blessed to live, the Jewish people have never had it so good. And we are extremely lucky. You look around the world and you see that there's a proliferation of Torah that we've never had in Jewish history before. I was thinking about it. When you look at the Gemara, you read that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. You say to yourself, wow, how amazing can that be? How did he pull that off? How did he have yeshiva with that many Talmidim? And you look today how there are, I'm sure, many Magi this year who in 1 week alone are able to speak to tens and hundreds of thousands of people in 1 week, in one day. And this ability that we have to learn Torah and to live a Torah life and to not live under persecution of our enemies and to have religious freedoms for the most part and to have a robust and functioning Jewish community all over the world, it's a reality that is something that at least I was born into. It's something that many of us have experienced for many, many years. And it's something that makes it extremely difficult to appreciate what is lacking. We have everything. We have everything. And for those who feel they're lacking Eretz Yisrael, we get our little dose, we get on the plane, we go whenever we feel it's appropriate to do so, whenever we're able to, and it's a yearning, and it's a passion, and it's exciting, and we go, and then we come home, and everything's just perfect. So what are we lacking? That's a very interesting question. And I think the answer is very simple. What we lack is a perspective and a relationship and an understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to all of us in our lives. What that means is as follows. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises there will be a time, V'anochi haster aster panei bayomahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there will be a time when he's going to hide his face. And the Mefarshim are already bothered. What does it mean, a double negative? Haster aster, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to certainly hide his face. How hidden is he going to be? Either you're able to be seen or you're hidden. So what is the double lashon of haster aster panei? So one of the Mefarshim says that perhaps what it means is, we're going to live in a generation, this is the klala that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, that one can live in a generation where there is so much hester panim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so hidden from us that we don't even realize what we're lacking. We don't even realize that he's missing. That's the double language here of haster aster panim. I remember a number of years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was asked to speak at a get-together that was being held for the first yahrzeit of the three boys who were killed, I think it was 8 years ago. So I came to the cemetery there, And something hit me by this experience. I was terrified to speak there. What are you supposed to say? And you're standing in the shadow of tremendous giants, of incredible people who have inspired our entire nation, the entire Jewish people. And I was there, and I warmly embraced the family, and I was talking to them. And they showed me to my seat. There were hundreds of people gathered. So they said, this is where you're going to sit. We're not going to start for another 15 minutes. You're the first speaker. So I'm wondering, I'm the first speaker. Everybody's here. What are we waiting 15 minutes for? It's quiet. And what happened next just completely amazing. There you had parents who had lost their children in that awfully brutal murder that all of us remember. And they stood at the foot of their children's grave and they began to sing for 15 minutes. Songs from Shir HaShirim about how deeply connected they feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I sat there and I cried along with everybody else. But what I cried about may have been a little bit different. I cried because it conjured up memories of that whole experience and what it meant for everybody personally. But beyond that, I cried because I realized for the first time how far I am from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have no way to relate to the experience that I've now seen. I've never seen anything like this. I don't think I ever will see anything like it again. I have no understanding of how a person could go through that kind of experience in life and walk away feeling so connected and so in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, to me, was more profoundly sad than anything else. That's haster aster panah. That you don't even realize what's lacking. One doesn't even realize what's missing. They tell a humorous story that there was a mashpia, there was a rav who once came to speak somewhere, and he was giving a tshuva drasha, and everybody was so uplifted and inspired, and somebody in the crowd comes over to him afterward and says, you know, I want you to know, you've changed my life. I'll never be the same. I just appreciated how much you connected, I appreciated how eloquent you were, I appreciated how you spoke about different things, and it was complicated terms, complicated ideas, but you really brought it down to my level. I was able to follow the whole thing. And you were even cordial enough that you were able to translate everything. You know, I'm not as learned as others in the room. And I was really able to understand that every word you said, it was life-changing. Everything about it, I'll never be the same. I just had one question. There was one thing I didn't understand. You kept saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that? It's the one word you didn't explain. You didn't understand because you didn't translate it. So what did you walk away with? Everything else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think about that story because how often is it that as Klal Yisrael, that as Jews, not only in our community, I think this is a phenomenon all over the world. We live at a time where there's so much focus on Shmiras HaMitzvahs, on Diktuk and Tefillah, on Diktuk and Talmud Torah, and everything that we're supposed to be doing. And there are Shiurim everywhere, and you go into every shul and they have a Daf Yomi, and you see these tens of thousands of people who are on a level that we've never seen before. And you come to a Shabbos table and people are saying Dibrei Torah and people are looking over the Parsha and the Bimah, etc. It's amazing. It's beautiful. We have room to grow, but it's amazing what's going on. And we're shaking lulav. And we're building sukkahs. And we're having all kinds of wonderful things to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our mitzvahs. But there's one thing missing, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we can daven and we don't realize we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can learn Torah, but we don't realize we're learning Torah's Hashem to be. We can sit in the sukkah, we don't realize the throws on the sukkah shlomecha, that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose sukkah we are sitting in. We're shaking the lulav because that is what the Ribbono Shel Olam told us to do. So whether you say the Shem Yichud, you don't say the Shem Yichud, that's a detail, it's discussed in the Achronim, it's a wonderful discussion. But the bottom line is whether or not you say it, how often do we have the opportunity to really take a step back and focus that everything we do is because we're supposed to have opportunities to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we daven, it's disproportionate, the amount of times in our tefillah that we talk about our return to Yerushalayim, our return to Eretz Yisrael, the Yerushalayim Erefes, Tzemach Tadus, and over and over again throughout the davening, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and during the week, we talk so often about how much we wish to come back to Yerushalayim, how much we want to be on English. I always ask young children when they come to my house, just because I want to be able to say that I actually ask this question. So I ask this question very often. Why do you want Mashiach? What do you think is going to happen when we have a Beis HaMikdash? Just curious. I'm curious, no right or wrong answer. How do I know there's no right or wrong answer? Because when the Rambam talks about it, he says, I don't know what it's going to be, Lios and Lovel. Certain things, when we get there, we'll figure it out. So some say, this is going to happen, that. Just curious, what's in people's imagination? the child will say, you know, I want Mashiach because no one's ever going to get sick again. That's a very beautiful thought. It's a very beautiful feeling. I don't know if it's true. Is that true that no one's ever going to be sick? We're going to have no hospitals, no doctors. Everyone's just going to be healthy. I'm not sure. It would be wonderful, but I'm not sure it's the case. Other people say, you know, we have daigas ha-parnasa. We worry about making a parnasa. It's our obligation to take care of our families, to make sure we're able to live the experience of life. You know, when Mashiach comes, money's going to fall from the trees. I'm not going to have to make a parnasa anymore. I can just sit all day and do what I really want to focus on. I'm not going to have to worry about such things. I don't know. Is that really the case? No one's going to work. Everyone's just going to sit in a kollel all day and night. We're going to have men's programs, women's programs. Everyone's going to be busy really baking challahs all day and doing everything. Really, is that what we're going to do? Not sure. Not sure. It seems, when you read the Mishnayos, when you learn through the Gemara, it doesn't seem like everybody in the time of the Beis HaMikdash spent their entire day and night in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the case. You came on occasion and you had an opportunity to do so. Even Kohanim and Levim were not there throughout the experience of their lives. They were Mishmaros. There were shifts when they were able to come. It wasn't something that everybody did every moment of the day. So why do we want Beis HaMikdash? Why do we want Yerushalayim? What's going to happen? Money's going to fall from the tree. So we're not children anymore. We don't think that. But what do we think is going to happen? So the Dubna Magid writes a very fascinating mashal. Dubna Magid writes, you have a young child who's taken to a wedding for the first time in his life. Really doesn't understand what the concept is. He has no idea what's going on. He's just so excited. His parents say, we're going to a wedding. He says, great. Comes to the wedding. And as he's there, he walks into the room where they're having a chuppah. And he sees a whole room full of people. There's an aisle on one side that has all men, aisle on the other side all women. And he sees that there's a long aisle in the middle with a carpet rolled down the middle of it. He walks right down the middle of the aisle, walks straight up to the canopy in the front. He doesn't know what chuppah is, he has no idea. He sees there's a young man and a young woman standing under this canopy. He walks right up to them and he says, you know, for some reason you're not sitting with everybody else. I'm just curious. Turns to the young man and says, you look very, very happy. Why are you so happy? What's going on? What's happening to you that's different than anybody else? And why are you standing here? He says, well, the truth is, I'm the chassid. Boy says, I don't even know what that means. Do you care to explain? He says, well, it's a very happy time for me. You know why? I'm wearing the most expensive suit, the most expensive and beautiful tuxedo that I've ever had. I've never had a tie that looks this nice from this brand and this store. I've never bought a pair of shoes that's this beautiful. And I just feel so good about myself. It's very exciting. Okay. Turns to the young woman who's standing right next to him, and he says, you know, the young child approaches her and says, you know, there's a lot of women in the room here, but you seem to be on another cloud. You seem to be so much happier than everybody else. What's going on? What are you so happy? She says, well, I'm the kala. I'm the bride. Okay, what does that mean? She says, you know that I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning. I was getting my makeup done. Then I got my hair taken care of. And every single little detail about the gown. Look at this jewelry I'm wearing. You should see what we have. And you know what the chassid's about to give me in the yichud room. Imagine, this is the greatest day of my life. Writes the Dibna Magid. How long is that marriage going to last? If at the most exciting moment of this union, of this relationship, all they can focus on is the gown and the makeup and the jewelry and the shoes and the tuxedo and the suit. It's all wonderful. And it all adds to the experience of what a wedding is. And without all of those things, a wedding would have a little bit of a damper, and it wouldn't be the same. But that's your focus? That's why you're happy? Right, Satubna Magid, we have all of these extras, and we have all of the accessories, and it's all part of what makes a wedding special. But that's not why the wedding is special. A wedding is special because the chassan is about to commit himself and tell his wife, I love you, I appreciate you, and I'm giving up myself to you. I'm going to pay attention to you and give you everything you need. That's why a wedding is exciting. That's what this high moment of their lives is all about. Right to Dibna Magid, this is what the Navi means when we read, when he talks about it, the Shiva de Nachemta, after Tisha B'Av, we're going to discuss and describe in the Haftorah for a number of weeks in a row, different understandings of what it means to have a Geula. So the Navi introduces us and he says, Sos Asis B'Hashem, Tagel Nafshi B'Elokai. Right to Dibna Magid, what is it coming to teach us? Geula is something we aspire to, not because of the jewelry, and not because of the gown, not because of the shoes. All of that may be true. Maybe money will be falling from trees, and maybe no one's going to be sick again, and that will all add to the festive environment of Geula and Mashiach, of Beis HaMikdash. It's great. But that's not the focus. The focus is, Sos Asis B'Hashem. I'm finally going to have an opportunity to celebrate, to revel in the presence of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be excited, to once again have an understanding of what it means to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And I think, as we go through the experience of the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Tisha B'Av as well, it's an opportunity for us to secure an understanding for ourselves, to try to think about that commitment, to think about our loyalty, to try to understand, where is that relationship up to? What am I aspiring toward? What am I lacking? What am I missing when I talk about my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is this so complicated? Why is it that Emunah BaHashem, that believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understanding what that relationship is so often a very complicated thing for people to do? And I think that answer could probably be taken in many different ways, but let me just share one insight, and that is, we're going to say tomorrow in Hallel, Ani Amarti B'Chavzi Kol HaAdam Kozev. Now I ask you, if you don't know what the words mean, look tomorrow in the Art Scroll Sitter and you'll see what the words mean. Ani Amarti B'Chavzi means David HaMelech is talking very openly and he says, Kol HaAdam Kozev. Kozev means, Kazav means, deceitful. So do you really believe that? That Kol HaAdam Kozev, that every human being that you encounter is a liar? I don't know. I'm a positive person. I try to be. I hope not to believe that every person in the world who I ever engage with is a liar, is so immoral, is so unable to be trusted. It's hard to say such a thing. So what does David HaMelech actually mean? Ani amarti b'chavzi kol ha'adam kozev. You say it every time you recite Hallel. So my father once told me, perhaps the explanation is as follows. When Adam HaRishon was created, we're told, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, afar min ha'adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon from the dust of the earth. Now for anyone who studies Chumash, you know that whenever there's a hey in the beginning of a word, it's coming to highlight something very significant, very special. So the Medrash asks, what does it mean, afar min ha'adama? What's the adama? What's so unique and special about the ground? The Medrash gives two pshat. Number one, says the Medrash, afar min ha'adama means HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the place which is the adama. Parshas Yisro, the Torah says, Mizbach adama ta'asali. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the Makam HaMikdash, onto the place where he was ultimately going to have the Mizbeach built, took some of the ground from there, and from that he infused life into Adam HaRishon. That's what it means, afar min ha'adama. The other pshat in the Medrash is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Savar Afaro Mikol Ruchos Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a little bit of dust, a little bit of dirt from the entire globe, put that all together, and from that he made life. From that he made Adam HaRishon. So my father told me, perhaps, this is not a dispute, this is not a machlokes in the Medrash. Perhaps both of them are true. Both of us, both of those aspects, both of those elements are deep inside of every person. We're created from both. At our core, at our essence, we all have an intrinsic connection to the Makom HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, which is Mizbach Adama Tasali. That's who we are. It's our essence. It's what we're all about. Like the Navi says, Yad Asher Koneu V'chamor Avuz Ba'alav. We're going to say it in the Haftarah. Yad Asher Koneu, Rabbi Elohim explains, when you have an animal, the intellect of an animal is nothing close to the intellect of a human being, and yet, somehow, instinctively, an animal knows to go find its owner. An animal knows how to find water. An animal knows how to find food. How? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ami lo hisbonan. How can it be a Jew who instinctively is supposed to know how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so often is found lacking, is found lost, is completely wandering, doesn't know how to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We cannot locate him. We can't develop that relationship. It's something that's intrinsic in all of us, that we were created afar min ha'adama, from the ground, which is where the Makom HaMikdash stood. That's the essence of who we are. Beyond that, we also have a secondary component to ourselves, and that is, we're afar min ha'adama. I'll give you an example. We're cosmopolitan. We're all over the place. We have a varied interest for all of us. I don't know if anyone here ever looks at the news. Maybe you shouldn't, because you're not getting anything truthful anyway. But, stam dvar b'telem, but you look at the news, and you see something sometimes, and it bothers you. Why does it bother you that in Sri Lanka they got rid of the Prime Minister the other week? Seems not to bother anyone in the room. But it bothered me. What do you care? You have business in Sri Shinjuku? Do you know anybody there? You're ever going to visit there? What do you care? Why does it bother you that Shinzo Abe was murdered in Japan the other week? Again, it's a terrible thing that somebody lost his life, that there's crime in the world. That's horrible. But why does it make any difference to you? What do you care? Why do you care that in Britain the Prime Minister just had to step down? That now they have to find someone else to lead the country. And in Israel they're up for elections again. So you'll say, okay, Eretz Yisrael makes a difference to me. Matters how things are going to play out. But everything else, what does it matter? It's not my country. It's not going to affect me at all. Taiwan? What do you care what's going on in Taiwan? China's going to overtake Taiwan? Let them overtake Taiwan. Okay. What are you getting about? What do you care? What are you reading all the articles? What are you obsessing over it? The answer is because as human beings, we have naturally an interest, a curiosity for what goes on in the world. It's not a bad thing. It's the way we are. It's Afar Min HaAdam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us and created us from the entire cosmos, from the entire world, and made Adam HaRishon. As a result of that, my father argued, that's what it means. Kol HaAdam Kol Zeid, it doesn't mean every human being is a liar. It doesn't mean every person is deceitful. It means every human being has this inner contradiction inside of them. You always have this pull in both directions. On the one hand, you want to be so deeply connected and so deeply rooted to what it means to be a part of that experience of Beis HaMikdash, of Mizbeach, of who we are in our essence. On the other hand, I have something else that's pulling at my attention, and that is, I have an interest in global interests. I have an interest in things that go on all over the place. Why? Because that's who we are. Kol HaAdam Kol Zeid, sometimes it's hard to connect with our Kodesh Baruch Hu because we have interests that are far beyond just one little focal point. And it's very hard to refocus. And it's very hard to bring ourselves back to what the essence of a Jew really is all about. And that's what this period of the year gives us an opportunity to do. I always feel during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days when we don't have chasanas, and it's a sign of avelis, and we're not listening to music, and we're not running around to varts and lechaims and all kinds of different things. Maybe most of the people in the room don't run to these things all the time, but Rabbi Frankel knows very well. The simchas and the dinners and all the different things that every night you're so busy and you're running around and you're not able to ever focus. I always feel it comes in 3 weeks. It's like, actually, you have time to think a little bit. Come home at night and actually use my head a little bit and think, what's going on? Where are we holding? Where are we up to? Where are we supposed to be going? And that's really what this time period of year is really supposed to be all about. David HaMelech, as he's giving over the mantle of leadership to his son, Shlomo HaMelech, and we're told that Shlomo was the Chacham Mikol Adam. Sukkim described in the Nevi'im how there were people who would come from all over the world to see the brilliance of Shlomo HaMelech. They wanted to see, who is this wise man? How is it that there could be a human being like this? He was a pella of a person. When David HaMelech is giving over the mantle of leadership to his son, he gathers in all the ministers and all the different factions of government, and everyone's there, and David HaMelech is giving his valedictory address, and he's talking to his son, and he's leaving over the instructions, and what does he say? First words that he says, Shlomo Bini, my son Shlomo, your job is Da Es Elokei Avicha. He doesn't give him political advice, and he doesn't say, my life experience taught me this and taught me that, and don't meet with this one, and I don't like that one. It's nothing to do with that. David HaMelech says, your job in life is, with all the chachmas that you have, and with all the wisdom and the brilliance, and everything you're going to accomplish, and all the failures you're going to have, and everything that's going to happen in your life, the bottom line is one thing. Da is elokei avicha. You need to make time, you need to fundamentally understand what it means to really have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal HaTanya writes, what does it mean when David HaMelech says, Da is elokei avicha? He says that was a choice word that was not coincidental. He says, Vayeda Adam Eschala Ishto. The Torah says that when Adam had an intimate relationship with his wife, it's referred to as Ladas. He understood, he knew. He became so closely connected, he was totally infatuated by his wife. He was overtaken by her presence, by her personality, by this relationship. It took up his everything, his whole world. It even made him forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was so entranced. He was so enraptured with this relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him of a wife. Vayeda Adam. Writes the Baal HaTanya, that's what it means. Da es elokei avicha. It means to be in that kind of relationship where you are so enraptured with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where this is so much almost a something that you can't get out of your head. Like the Rambam says, something that ba'avaso tishka tamid, something we have the opportunity to think about all the time. The Rambam explains Like you have somebody who's lovesick, says the Rambam. Sometimes you have a person who does crazy things because they're in love with someone. They're willing to sacrifice their whole parnasa. They're willing to sacrifice their whole career. Do something silly, you get caught in a scandal. Why would you do such a thing? You're a CEO, you're an executive of a big company, you're the president of the United States. How can you do such a thing? The answer is sometimes a person gets so carried away with a love that they have, with a desire that they have, that you're not even thinking straight. They didn't make a calculated decision, what's going to happen if I get caught, and what happens if I do this or that. You're not thinking. You're just willing to go and do, because that's the feeling that you have. Says the Rambam, that's what Avas Hashem is meant to really be all about. Das Elokei Avicha, the one instruction that is given to Shlomo HaMelech before he takes over the mantle of leadership is, make sure you have a foundational understanding of what it means to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else is commentary. Everything else you'll fill in the details later, but everything else is details. That's what it all comes down to. That's what Yiddishkeit is. That's what we're here to do, and that's what we're supposed to accomplish. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus points out one of his Sfarim. I don't remember if it's the Sefer on Emunah or it's the Sefer on the 3 weeks, but in one of them he has a very interesting insight where he says people often misunderstand what the concept of Emunah is all about. So he gives the following mashal, and I think it really brings it down to a level that at least I could understand. So he says the following. Imagine I say to you, I see that you lent money to a friend of yours who wants to get a business off the ground. So you lend your friend $150,000. I come over to you the next day and I say, you know, I just heard you gave $150,000 to your friend. How do you know he's going to pay you back? So what would he tell me? I don't know he's going to pay me back. I believe, I trust he's going to pay me back. Why? I've been friends with him for so many years. I know him so well. I can't know with certainty that this is going to happen. But I believe, because of the relationship that we have, and because of how well I know him, I believe that I can trust him. Imagine, he says, you go outside, and we all walk out together, hopefully in a few minutes. We all walk out together, and I say to you, I believe that it's dark outside. Would that be the right way to express myself? No. I don't believe that it's dark outside. I know that it's dark outside. I know with certainty that it's dark outside. Imagine I would say to you, I believe that I'm standing on a wood floor. That wouldn't be the proper way to say it. I would say, I know that there's a wood floor underneath me, and that's what I'm standing on. It's not a belief that I have, it's fact. So what does it mean when we're expected to have emunah, belief, faith in our HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By definition, he writes, it means that a person does not know it factually. It means that there's some ambiguity in this relationship. There's something that I'm not 100% sure about that is not provable scientifically. I can try for the rest of my life to give all the proofs. In the end of the day, writes of Shimshon Pinkus, and Rav Chaim is said to have expressed the same sentiment. Emunah begins where my intellect ends. A person can have all kinds of proofs and understandings, and they can build layers upon layers of understanding till you get to a point where at some point you have to say to yourself, I don't know, this is beyond me, I don't understand. Now, everybody has a different level of where that is. But at some point, for a thinking person, you'll say to yourself, this just doesn't make sense. I just came back from 2 weeks in Camp Simcha. I have the privilege, I go with my family every summer. And every summer that I'm there, I'm very troubled in Yanei Hashkafa, and Yanei Amuna, just being very transparent and very honest. I'm sitting there with 120 campers who are all young kids, and they're all battling most serious and severe illnesses, undergoing chemotherapy. I'm watching them run around with no energy, without any hair, and I have them lining up to talk to me about Tzadik Gerado, and how can I ever daven again when this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to me? What am I supposed to say? You think it doesn't rattle my amuna? I don't know. If it doesn't bother anyone else, you're all ba'amet kulam tzadikim. So what do you do with that? What is that supposed to mean? I remember after my first summer there, 6 summers ago, I was very troubled by all this, and I really didn't know what to do. I thought, am I no longer a Baal B'Tachon? Is there something wrong with me that I'm actually having trouble processing all of this? And at the time, I called Rav Asher Weiss in Yerushalayim, and I discussed it with him. And I asked him, you know, what am I supposed to think? That I have serious doubts when I experience something like this. Like, what is the story with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like, how can this be? And he said to me something which I have never forgotten, and I think I hope to never forget it as well in the future. He said, who would you say, when you go through all the pages of Chumash, who is the greatest Ma'amid HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's your question. It's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we're still talking about the Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, what he was willing to do and sacrifice for this relationship. So Avraham Avinu is the greatest believer. So you know what the Medrash says? Avraham Avinu comes home from the Akedah. Avraham Avinu walks through the door and sees that his wife Sarah Imenu has died. And the Medrash writes, Avraham Avinu woke up the next morning. V'hisil Avraham Avinu tameh. Avraham Avinu started engaging HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this conversation, and he says, I don't understand. Es malamarta li ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazer. First he told me that my future, my progeny is going to be Yitzchak. Then, I didn't ask questions, then it happened. Then one fine day, you come and you tell me, Halei v'shal meyodah, I want you to kill your son. I go the great distance, all the lengths, I get over my personal issues with doing this, and I do it for you, and I bind up my son Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, and I'm ready to do the Akedah. Then you say, take him down, put him up, do something else. Now I come home and you kill my wife? What is this? So he asks him, does that make Avraham Avinu less of a believer? He still goes down in history as the greatest believer in HaKadosh Baruch. How can that be? The answer is, just as in any relationship that we have that's complicated, and there are things that trouble us about every relationship that we have, it's totally legitimate to have kashas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Look through the Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu had plenty of problems, and he asked the problems, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodi'eni Nader Achecha, the Ribono Shalom said, I'm sorry, you're going to get to a point in life where you're not going to understand. So Avraham Avinu has a problem, Moshe Rabbeinu has a problem, and you look through the Nevi'im and you find over and over again, Chavakuk writes the same thing, and Yecheskel HaNavi says the same, all the Nevi'im have the same. Most of all, when you read Sefer Iyov, and you see Tzadik Dorado in the greatest expression of that, you ask yourself, Kichol Derach HaMishpat, this is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about? So Rav Chaim understands, and this is what Rav Shimshon Pinkus tries to flesh out a little bit more in our terms, that being a Ma'amin HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean that I can factually prove it. You'll get to a dead end in your life where you're going to say, this just doesn't add up. If I believe Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Echad, how could it be? Why would he make son and amon at such a young age? Why would he make these children disowned? Why would that happen? Why would he make a child sick? The answer is, that's where Emunah begins. Emunah doesn't mean I can factually, scientifically prove something. Emunah means l'ha'amin. It means to believe something that I cannot factually prove. That's where the challenge of Emunah begins. Now you'll ask yourself, how long do we have? Done? Maratan. Okay, so I'm going to finish up. So you'll ask me, thank you. Thank you for being honest. So you ask yourself, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it, designed it in such a way? Yecheskel HaNavi talks about the sentiment of many people in his generation, where they said, Azam Hashem Es HaAretz. We can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means he can't see us either. And it means he's not here. The Navi Yeshaya describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Kel Mistatek. He's shrouded in mystery. We don't understand it. It's so beyond our comprehension. So why did Ribbono Shel Olam set it up in such a strange way? Wouldn't it make more sense to have a relationship with an entity, with a person, with something, with a being that we understand and we relate to on our own terms? Why would it be worth it to set up a system the way he did? Explains the Baal HaTanya so beautifully. Perhaps the reason why is because, anybody here have children who went to camp? Teenagers who went to camp? Okay. So, I'm not going to ask you to answer this question, but you have a teenager who went to camp. Maybe your teenager at home doesn't always appreciate you as the parent as much as they should. Perhaps, right? There is such a thing. Not here, but there is such a thing in Woodmere. We have such things. Of kids who may not appreciate their parents as much as maybe they should. All of a sudden, you're waiting by the bus, about to send your child away for 2 months of the summer, and the kid is crying, and the parents are crying. What's going on? What happened? Whoa! I was always your parent. You don't cry when you leave in the morning for school. You don't cry when you come home for dinner. You have no appreciation. You show no care at all. So what happened? Sometimes, a little bit of distance is a very healthy thing. Sometimes creating a little bit of distance creates a feeling, engenders a sense inside of ourselves of longing, of yearning, of pining, of understanding. Wow, now that I have this distance, let me take a step back and think. what does this relationship actually mean to me? Why do I care that I don't have a relationship right now? How often do you talk to people who lose their parents and they bemoan the fact, oh, I wish I had more time with them. I wish, yeah, when the parent was alive, is that the way you felt? Of course not. It's human nature we don't feel that way. Why? Because it's just a constant in our lives. We have those people, we don't appreciate them as much as we should. It said about Tanya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu by design wanted us to be on a journey throughout life of yearning, of pining, of trying to understand, on this quest, on this incessant journey to try to get to the depths of what exactly is this relationship? It's so nebulous, it's so amorphous, it's so hard to really wrap our heads around. But that's exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be designed. Because he wants us to be on that journey throughout life to figure out what does the Ribbono Shel Olam mean to you. We start off the davening every day. I know you told me it's time for Maariv, but let me at least say something we can think about in Maariv. So we start off our Shmona Esrei every day. We say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So the Mabit asks, every word in Shmona Esrei, you look in the Nefesh HaChaim. Mabit doesn't quote the Nefesh HaChaim, the dates are off. But the Nefesh HaChaim describes how there's such indescribable power in every word of Shmona Esrei, and that's why the Gemara says we have to have Nevi'im write the words of Shmona Esrei. Am Shekesa Gedola, Mehem Kama Nevi'im. Why? Because there's so much packed into every word. There's a reason why every word is there. Don't change the sitter. There's a reason why everything is exactly the way it should be. Okay. So ask the Rabbi, why don't we streamline the first sentence of Shmona Esrei? You say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Let's say it much simpler. Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. You are the God of the Avos. You are the Ribbono Shel Olam of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Writes the Mabit, the answer is because the relationship that Avraham Avinu in his life created and engendered with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not at all similar to the one that Yitzchak Avinu had. And the one that Yaakov Avinu created throughout the journey of his life had nothing to do with his father or his grandfather. Of course he was educated by them. Of course he grew up in their home. Of course he took the values of what they gave him. But in the end of the day, Yaakov Avinu realized he could be the son of the Gadol Hadar. He could be the grandson of the Gadol Hadar. It does nothing for my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to work throughout my life to realize what a Lokei Yaakov experience is going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what that relationship is going to be. And I almost feel if we were able to continue the sentence in Shmona Esrei, you would say a Lokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Mi. Think about the sentence, finish it off. What does Elokei myself feel like? What does that look like? That's what Shmona Esrei is all about. That's what our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be, an incessant journey throughout life to figure out what is this relationship actually corresponding to? What does it mean? What does it stand for? And how am I supposed to internalize it? So let me just close with one real final thought, and that is, when we read the story of Shir HaShirim, we know the Mefarshim tell us it's a mashal, it's a parable of a description, an illustration of this beautiful marriage, of this union, of this relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we read that story, at some point in the middle of the story, we get to a pasuk where the woman is frantically looking for her husband, she can't find him, she doesn't know what to do, and she's running around the streets, but shvakim of our chobos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us, and we're looking for him, and we keep missing each other. And it's a very, very powerful story when you actually go through it, about the impenetrable relationship and affinity that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the bond and the partnership that he has with us as well. Then we come to a pasuk, Hinei zeh omed achar pasleinu, mashgiach min achalonos meitzitz min acharakim. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter points out, that's a repetitive phrase. HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing behind the wall. That means when we're in Galus, we don't have that transparent relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're in some way at a distance. Things are not as clear. Things are a little hazy. Things are a little bit in a fog. Hinei zeh omed achar pasleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands behind the wall. Mashgiach min achalonos, he looks through a window. Meitzitz min acharakim, he peeks through a peephole. And what's the difference, asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, between a window and a peephole in the door? And he explains, a window is something that is fully transparent. I look through the window, I can see what's happening outside, the people outside can look right back in and see what's happening inside. We have a full open relationship with each other, we see what's going on, we understand it. On the other hand, a peephole is very different. Anybody ever had a little child who wants to go onto the bus by themselves because they want to feel independent. So the kid's 4 years old, and they're begging their parents, don't take me outside to the bus. So what does a responsible parent do? You want to go out and be independent? Go be independent. I'm going to close the door. What am I going to do, walk away? No, I'm going to stand behind the door and watch through the peephole to make sure you're safe. And the minute that I see there's any potential danger coming my child's way, I'm going to run outside and take care of them. But along the way, as the child is walking to the bus, they keep turning around to see, is anybody watching? Are they really giving me independence? And what do they see? All they see is the door. They don't see the parents standing there looking through the crack. That's the difference between a chalon, between a window, and a charakim, when you have a little crack in the door. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching over the Jewish people. Shomer Ami Yisrael, we talk about it, we daven about it, we mention that that's a beautiful phrase in which we refer to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is always looking after us. But yet, there are different times in history, different periods, when we have a different kind of relationship with Him. Sometimes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that of a window. Mashgiach ben Achalom, as we look out the window, we see Him, He sees us. It's full transparency. We have a full and complete understanding of what the relationship actually means. There are other times in history where we feel it's just a wall behind us. It's a wall in front of us. We don't know how to relate to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu under these conditions and in these circumstances. But don't forget, even at moments like those, it still makes its menachah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching over the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shomer Al Yisrael La'ad. He is always the Racham Mechanan. He is always the one who has an interest in this passionate relationship with the Jewish people. But it takes on different forms at different times. And perhaps if one is living through a moment where it's not the Chalom experience, remind yourself that you're still living through an experience where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is caring enough to look through the Charakim, to look through those small cracks in the window, those small cracks in the door. When we turn around, we don't see Him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And this is our challenge. This is our gift, I should say, when we mourn the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And obviously it's a time when we should think a lot about what Beis HaMikdash means to us and what we are lacking. But I think the most important thing that we are all lacking is that understanding of what a full and transparent relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to really be about. And this is an opportunity during this period of the year to give pause and to give ourselves a few moments of clarity, to give ourselves a few moments of opportunity just to clear the head, to clear the mind, and think just for a few extra moments every day, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can mean to me in my life? What is it that a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam can actually look like if I took it seriously? What is it if only I infused HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every Shemona Esrei that I got, into every Daf Yomi Shir that I went to, into every chesed that I'm involved with, into every mitzvah that I observe? If only HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the focal point of all of those opportunities that were given throughout the year, how different our lives would look and how different our experience would feel. And that's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yerushalayim, Yerucham Berachem and Tashuv, B'Sech Zena Einenu B'Shulcha Letzion Berachem, and we should have the opportunity that our eyes should once again see. We should open our eyes. Ki ayin ba'ayin yira. Once again, we'll have that transparent relationship, looking directly into the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'shuv Hashem Tzion, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back, that is the opportunity and experience that will once again be afforded as we come back with the Geula Shleima of Amitis. I wish everyone only simchas. It's a pleasure being here, sharing Torah together, and we should share together our wonderful things in the future.
Amen.
Thank you.